for you to ponder that we'll revisit here at the end of my meditation. But if Jesus stood before you today in this place and asked you this simple question, what would you say? Who do you say that I am? Now, if you could stand and if you could speak, what would your answer be? Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 13, we see here what's commonly looked at as Peter's confession of Christ. Now it says, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. And as we read on, we can see that Jesus then tells his disciples what is going to come about. He tells them of his death, and Peter, who just now confessed that Jesus was the Christ, takes Jesus aside and rebukes him for saying these things. And we see here that Jesus tells Peter, get behind me, Satan, for you are a stumbling block for me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Then we see that Jesus proceeded to tell his disciples what their discipleship was going to cost them. A lot of emphasis gets put on this confession of faith, even though it is great and it's monumental. But we see here that the disciples, including Peter, still didn't quite understand who Jesus was. And this was not the first time someone expressed whom they believed Jesus was and was spot on. But it was the first time that one of the 12 confessed who they thought Jesus was. But still, as we see from Jesus' rebuke, even Peter didn't fully understand what it meant for their teacher to be the Messiah and what he needed to do because of who he was. 400 years of silence has passed. For 400 years, God's presence had not been felt in the land. For 400 years, God's voice had not been heard by anyone. There had not been any new revelations, no prophecies, no men of God to share his desires or even his reproaches. But now the Lord saw fit to break this silence. In probably the least place that anyone would have suspected, in a no-name town of Nazareth, to an unknown little girl named Mary. God's messenger, Gabriel, approached Mary, as we see in Luke chapter 1, and said to her, hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. And we see here in verse 29, but she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. Now, this troubled Mary because it was abnormal for a man to approach a woman and bestow on her this type of honor in their culture, let alone a young girl, and express this type of accolade from an unknown person. But what she failed to realize, this was no ordinary man. And we see here in chapter 1, in verses 30 through 35, that the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, and he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. This here is the first confession of any being in the New Testament that we see of who Jesus would be, and it's made to Mary here. Later we see, and we can see in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25, that the angel appeared to Joseph to tell him that this young girl that he is betrothed to was going to be with child, and that this child was of God, but to not be afraid to take Mary as his wife anyway, and as he did. In Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, we see the heavenly beings appear to the shepherds while Mary is giving birth in Bethlehem. The shepherds are out in the field, and the heavenly hosts appear to them, telling them that the Messiah has come. We see in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 38, that when Jesus was yet a young child, that his parents took him to the temple, as was their custom, to present him there. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him that the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents had brought the child Jesus in to carry out the custom of the law, he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, the Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation, for thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples a light of revelation to the Gentiles in the glory of thy people in Israel." And his father and mother were amazed at the things in which were being said about him. But Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, for a sign to be oppressed, and a sword will even pierce your own soul to the end, and the thoughts of many the hearts will be revealed." Then there was also a prophetess named Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, had lived with a husband 7 years after her marriage, and when the widow of age of 84, and she had never left the temple, serving day and night in fasting and prayers, at that very moment she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And we know that Jesus, at the age of 12, when he stayed back at the temple and his parents came back to find him, what did he tell his parents he was there doing? He was about his father's business. And yet this statement bothered Joseph and Mary, and they pondered it. We see as Jesus began his ministry, Jesus didn't go around proclaiming to the masses who he was, but he subtly dropped hints to the people, and he showed in his actions who he was. He didn't necessarily always have to say it. In John chapter 1, we see as Jesus approached John the Baptist to be baptized, what does John call Jesus as he's walking up to him? "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In Luke chapter 2:22, we see when Jesus was baptized, a voice came from heaven that said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Luke chapter 8:28, even a demon confesses that Jesus is the Son of the Most High God. In Luke chapter 7, we see that John the Baptist had been arrested and in jail, and even though John's confession that Jesus was the Lamb of God, he needed that reassurance of faith that Jesus was the Messiah. And he asked his disciples to go to Jesus and ask him if he truly was that. And Jesus sends a message back subtly and confirms that to John, that he was him. Now in John chapter 8, we see this is one of my favorite encounters that Jesus has with the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day. But in John chapter 8, verse 48, the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" And Jesus answered and said, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me, but I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. And the Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered and said, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing, but it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you have not come to know him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, then I shall be a liar like you, but I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And the Jews therefore said to him, You are not yet 50 years, and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. Therefore they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Jesus here confesses to the religious leaders that he was the God that spoke to Moses out of the bush, the God that spoke to Moses when Moses said, Whose name shall I tell Pharaoh is to let his people go? And Jesus said, I am. Matthew 17, we see at the transfiguration, the voice came from heaven again and said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Unfortunately, we all know what happened next. Jesus was abandoned by even those that confessed that he was the Messiah. He was arrested, he was beaten, he was scourged, he was spit upon, and even suffered an agonizing death on the cross. But on that third day, God Almighty demonstrated that Jesus was the Messiah by raising him from the dead. As we are gathered here around his table to remember his sacrifice and proclaim his death until he comes again, I ask this question again. If Jesus stood before us today, whom would you say he was? All the evidence is there. The good confession has been made by countless witnesses. Philippians 2:9 tells us that God highly exalted him and bestowed upon him a name above every name. But what would you call him? Emmanuel? The Christ, the Lamb of God, the way, the truth, and the life, the only begotten Son, teacher, our mediator, the light of the world, the great I am, the door, the good shepherd, faithful, the bread of life, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the propitiation of our sins, our Redeemer, the author and perfecter of our faith, and our Lord and Savior. Our Father and gracious God, we thank you, Lord, so much for this day you've given to us. We thank you, God, so much for this time that we can come and gather around your table, Lord, and partake of these emblems that represent your body and your blood, that you know us too well, Lord, that us as a people, that if we would not participate in this practice, Lord, that we would forget. As commonly as we see that people have done all through Scripture, Lord, that through your infinite wisdom, Lord, you gave us this time to sit and reflect, to block out everything else in the world and the distractions, Lord, but focus on just simply who you are and the sacrifice that was made for us on Calvary, Lord. And just please, Lord, help us to have pure hearts and pure minds, Lord, as we partake of these, Lord, that we just simply think of that sacrifice and the gift that was given to us through your death, Lord. We love you, God, so much for everything you've done for us. And we thank you, Lord God, so much for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.